WMKV 89.3 FM, with permission of WMUB FM, Miami University Broadcasting, is proud to present the following hour-long historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Vic Spiderbeck.
This is Vix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and produced by Miami University Radio. The first few months of 1928 were busy and profitable ones for Paul Whiteman and for the members of his band. They were keeping a very busy calendar, as well as doing many recordings for Victor. On January 4th in the New York studios, the Paul Whiteman Orchestra recorded Lonely Melody and Ramona. Frank Powers, who will comment throughout this program, remarks on the significance of the placements of these two releases.
Lonely Melody is a rather nondescript, slightly interesting pop tune written by Sam Coslow and Benny Maroff, two gentlemen whose names are now totally obscure to most of us. However, the success of this record and the reason why collectors invariably seem to own nice mint copies of Lonely Melody in the original condition is because the other side, Ramona, was a tremendous hit in 1928. On the other side of the great hit, though, was the immortal Vic Spiderbeck trumpet solos. Take Three is possibly the most subtle and the most highly developed of the other two. Take One, on the other hand, is a hotter, more direct and simpler version. A comparison of these two trumpet solos would be in order. Let's listen, however, first to Take Three. Was take number three of Lonely Melody in its entirety. Take Three was issued in the late 30s in the Spiderbeck Memorial Album. The original Take One was issued in 1927. Now let's take the trumpet solos first from Take Three and compare that to the trumpet solo from Take One. Subtle, harmonic conscious. Take One is hot and direct. The two sides of the Beiderbecke personality as a jazz musician are beautifully demonstrated in the comparison of these two solos.
Frank Trombauer's orchestra was still busy, too. On January 9, 1928, they recorded There'll Come a Time. Bix and Tram, along with Bill Rank, Jimmy Dorsey, Min Liebrook, and Harold MacDonald, formed the band for this session.
There'll Come a Time is a tune composed by the great trombonist Miff Mole and the Dixieland cornetist Wingy Minone. It's also known as San Antonio Shout on later recording dates. The Frank Trombauer band at this time was a contingent out of the Paul Whiteman band. Whiteman permitted Trombauer and Bix to make recordings under their own name, and this is one of the products of that. And has possibly a little less fire than the earlier Trombauer recordings because the prime is past somehow. The magic of the moment is no longer there. But certainly an extremely interesting number, very well played with good solos all around. Thank you.
The 20th of January found Tram with another group of musicians in the studios of OK Records, this time to record Mississippi Mud.
Mississippi Mud was a tune recorded both by the Paul Whiteman Orchestra and by the Frank Trumbauer Group. Both recordings feature Bix Beiderbecke and, of course, the Rhythm Boys. However, on the Trumbauer version, we hear Bing Crosby on the vocal, and to the best of my knowledge, this is the only vocal that Bing Crosby ever made with the Trumbauer Orchestra. There is a little bit of a minstrel show burlesque, a conversation, a patter, if you would wish to call it that, between Bing Crosby and Frank Trumbauer before Bing's vocal.
We did. I should have been arrested for trying to go along with him. Oh, I had a lot of nerve, didn't I?
Followed by an excellent Beiderbecke trumpet solo.
That's from Purdue. Now we sing. When the sun goes down, tide goes out, the darkies gather round and they all begin to shout. Hey, hey, Uncle Dud.
Oh, you mean your old Uncle Dud down on home there with his feet in the mud?
I don't mean Uncle Dud's pap and his feet's really in the mud.
And what a dance do they do? Lordy, how I'm telling you. They don't need no band. They keep time by clapping their hands. Just as happy as a cow chewing on a cud when the darkies beat their feet on the Mississippi mud.
On February 9th, Bix recorded a song with the Whiteman Orchestra. His solo work on Dardanella brought an echo of his 1925 rejection by Victor. It did not fit the commercial requirements.
Dardanella was not issued till many years after it was made. That was in the 1930s when the interest in Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz musician, was prompted by record collectors and people interested in the development of jazz that swing had revealed. You almost wonder as you listen to the recording and you hear Bix's rather complex and subtle solo if the Victor people might have felt it was a bit ahead of the time of the audience of 1928. We hear also on this recording very fine C melody saxophone work by Frank Trumbauer. The arrangement is by the great Bill Chalice again.
February 13, 1928, saw one of the all-time jazz classics recorded by the Whiteman Orchestra. From Monday On was a showcase for the talents of Bing Crosby.
From Monday On is a composition of Bing Crosby and Harry Barris, two of the members of the Rhythm Boys. Many critics and experts on Bix have said this is the hottest recording by the Whiteman Band. The most near to pure jazz, you might say. But one thing should be noted about From Monday On, I think, or brings to mind or suggests an idea that is too often overlooked. And that is the talent of Bing Crosby. I think too often today we tend to look at Bing Crosby as sort of a dated vocalist, a popular figure from another era, when in actuality Bing Crosby was the most creative vocal stylist, jazz-oriented vocal stylist of his time. I think the Bing Crosby of the early 30s is quite comparable to Frank Sinatra in the 1950s. In other words, though he may have not been precisely in the jazz field at all times, his influence and his artistry, typified by his phrasing, by his understanding of the nature of vocal singing in the popular format of that time, was more highly developed, more unique, more creative than any other figure at that time.
Mr. Crosby has this mild opinion of his own contribution.
Well, I used to hum and sing choruses from the old Ray Miller records, you know, like the You Never Miss the Sunshine and I'll Build a Stairway to Paradise. So I could hum all those choruses, and I knew all the choruses on what's the great one that Bix and Tom made? Singing the Blues, and any of the Memphis Five, I could hum and sing those jazz choruses, those special choruses that guys like Jimmy Lytell took on the clarinet, or Phil Napoleon on the cornet. I just like to hum and sing the jazz choruses. I could imitate them, do what they did. In other words, I had nothing creative in it. I couldn't create anything. It was imitative, surely, completely.
The debt to Crosby is unmistakable. He inspired such people as Russ Colombo. And even to this day, in the singing of certain people such as Andy Williams and Dean Martin, the debt that Crosby had was to several people, this entourage of musicians that surrounded Bix. Bing was one of them. He was a jazz musician. He was the vocal equivalent. From Monday On is his composition. The fact that he helped compose this tune, the musicians, you know, you can understand that they have a feeling for this on this recording. You can feel that this is one of their tunes. This is a jazz tune. Today, even today, musicians who play in the pattern of Beiderbecke play this number. I think you might phrase it in this manner. Bing Crosby was, at this particular period of time, beginning to develop the style that would make him a major figure in popular singing in the 1930s, a very creative jazz singer, a part of Bix. Bix's most positive influence on popular music probably was Bing Crosby.
Every day was Monday on, my cares are over. From Monday on,
on. I'll be in clover. We pick on Monday because it's wash day, and we'll wash our blues away. From Monday on, the skies will look bright. Don't tell me different, I know I'm right. I'm gonna start shouting, hey, hey, when he says love, honor, and obey, cause I'll be happy from Monday on.
Recording of From Monday On indicates that the Beiderbecke spark is back. The whole group seems to be inspired by the composition. Louis Armstrong has a vivid memory of the solo work of Bix on From Monday On.
From Monday on, oh, what do you know? Yes, that's what I'm from Monday on in the midst. And there was other solos, but that From Monday On, I remember. Bars in that tune. That's what made the tune famous. I used to go down to Chicago's theater every day this year and play a solo. And it's so much different with all the trumpet players Paul Whiteman had. You could tell when he picked up that horn and blew 16 bars, you could tell the difference, you know?
It was also during the stint in Chicago that Bix first met Gene Krupa.
Well, my first introduction to Bix was when he came through Chicago with Paul Whiteman and came over in between or after the last show and sat in with us, and was perhaps the, certainly up to that point, the greatest thrill of my life was to actually play in the same group, the jam with Bix. A very retiring sort of a guy, if I can remember. Never had too much to say. I think his head was so full of music all the time that he never bothered much about anything else. If you couldn't get along with Bix, you couldn't get along with anybody. This band that we came to Chicago with, the Chicagoans, actually our job didn't turn out at first, but we were all pretty much of a society that held that what's mine is what's yours. And boy, I remember being hungry a lot of times, and Bix would come get us and put the bill for the meal, not for one guy, for the whole band. Apart from his perfect time, great time, that was a big thing with us. Always, even in our jazz field, there was one guy you had to push and there was another guy you had to pull. But Bix was right with it all the time, absolutely all the time. And of course, the wonderful sound he got and the great sense of pitch he had. It just was a happy, wonderful sound.
This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Consultants for the series were John Steiner, along with Joseph Campbell and Philip Evans. Commentary was recorded by Frank Powers. Continuity was written by Mary Kay Fulton. Audio engineer, Michael J. McGuire. Bix was researched, produced, and directed by Jim Grover. This is Bill Utter speaking for Miami University Radio.
WMKV 89.3 FM, your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for all your favorite music from the 1920s through the 1940s, is proud to present another half-hour program from the historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Bix Beiderbecke.